So, Shocker, how we know that your mud flap skills aren't great. How is your car boosting skills?
I'm actually a good car booster. You know why? I used to work in Kamloops at a drive-in movie theater. And quite often, we would have four or five cars to boost at the end of the night because people would run their batteries down watching. So I got some pretty mad skills when it comes to boosting cars.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, I know, right? Not what you were expecting.
No, not at all, Shocker. Blew my mind.
There you go. In fact, I even changed a tire today. My son had an issue with his vehicle, and so in the minus 20 whatever outside in the freezing cold, changing a tire did that, him and I. So, you know, I've matured in my mid-40s.
Yeah, this is shocking to me. I did not expect that. That's fantastic. Now, you changed the tire by yourself?
Yeah, come on, buddy.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, I didn't know. Hey, some guys, I know Wanick never knew even how to change a tire, so which is sad.
Yeah.
Well, that's good. So you change the tire, so everything's good. Now, would your changing of the tire, was it as efficient and smooth as the Capitals were last night when it came to generating shots against the Edmonton Oilers?
It was pretty efficient and smooth, yeah. I think I did a good job, as they did, as I try and make this awkward segue work. Yeah, listen, that team came out wanting to put lots of pucks on net. They did. 50 shots, that's not a great look for the Oilers, for sure. Jay Woodcroft had a lot to say after the game and today, and kind of bending some numbers here and there and putting some numbers out there, trying to create different pictures. I think at the end of the day, you know, shot attempts, shots for and against, all that, I think we can all agree that the Oilers are lacking some jam early on in their game still.
Yeah.
No matter what the numbers might be indicating here. And I think that, bottom line, I think they need to get to the bottom of that.
Yeah, and I mean, it feels like, I know the players who were Darnell Nurse talking about last night, they're frustrated talking about it, and I think it's just, you just have to do it, right? And I think that they ease their way into games or wait to see how it's going to be. But what I'd like to see, Shocker, I'd like to see them start their game the way they finished the game yesterday with tempo on their forecheck. And maybe it's something as simple as like, guys, let's just be our best forechecking as we can in the first five shifts or eight shifts, whatever it is.
Yeah, I mean, you know, like Darnell Nurse and Greg, you and I are in there talking to him last night. I feel like they've tried just about everything. When a guy is talking about how frustrated he is to just be continuing to talk about it, you know they've probably exhausted it in certain ways in the room, right? Like, I'm sure they've
100%.
Had ideas. I'm sure they've come up with things. I'm sure they've, you know, put money on the board. I'm sure that, I don't know. Like, they've probably done everything they can do to try and figure out a way through it. It boils down to individuals just taking responsibility for their own game early in games and, you know, not getting so caught up in the collective. You know, how's everybody else doing? I'm just going to make sure I'm doing what I'm supposed to be doing. And they don't have a lot of guys that get out early and are really playing the game, trying to be just true drivers of momentum, drivers of energy and those sorts of things. And I think that's what you're talking about, Strud. It's just like, take care of your deal. You know, take care of, you go out and be an excellent defensive player on your first shift of the game. Go out and be an excellent physical player on your first shift of the game. Go out there and say, I'm not going to make a mistake on this shift. Focus. Drill down on that thought. I'm going to be careful and I'm not going to make a mistake because the group needs that. Everybody's in charge of themselves, and it's figuring out which part of your game you need to manage early to not be on the wrong side of it. And we've talked it to death. They've talked it to death. It's a thing.
Yeah, and I guess just to follow up, sorry, Griggs, but just, like, I wonder if they've given specific tasks. Like, what is it that we're going to be good at? Like, you know, and instead of just saying, we got to bring energy. Well, great.
Yeah, yeah.
Bring energy to the party, Gregor. Okay, what does that mean? Does that mean the music, dancing, my outfit, my glasses? Like, what? Do you know what I mean? Like, I need to. And so, you know, because I think it has to be tangible. We want to have this happen the first 5 minutes. Let's get X number of shots or this many turnovers. Like, something we can really, like, quantify it. And then you can say, look, guys, we did or we did not achieve our goals. And I know it's simplifying a little bit, but, I mean, if you've tried everything, I wonder if that is something that I don't remember us really using that often, but I remember thinking that was a good idea because we could measure it. Yes, Shocker, you did get two hits. No, Strudwick, you didn't get two hits.
Yep, and I think now, would you suspect that it's kind of a theme for everybody to try and follow, or is it specific things for different units? So, like,
I'd bring it down. If I was a coach, I'd go line by line and say, "This is what I want out of you. Your first three shifts. This is what I need from you." So, line one, you need to do this. Line two, line three, whatever. And then the pairings, same thing. Deep pairings, like a couple hits, like, you know what I mean. Just so it's tangible, they can look and say, "Okay, I did do this. I did." Then they have a goal in their first three shifts. And I'm not saying that they don't now. And then this is, but you know, if you're just going out there, okay, we just want to have a good shift. Okay, well, what does that mean?
Like, what does that mean
all the time? Yep. Hey, Strudwick, have a good shift. Okay. Good. Yeah. What does that mean? Like, because when you're playing well, you don't even have to be told to have a good shift. You're going to go out there, you're going to tear this place in half. But when you're not playing well, and maybe not playing well, sorry, when you're not starting properly, hey, we got to bring energy. Got to bring energy. Okay. What does that mean? Or we need you tonight. Hey, 97, we need you tonight. Yeah. We know we need him tonight, but what do you need to do? Right. And maybe it's unfair to put 97 in there, but you get the general idea, Shogger.
No, 100%. It's a specific task, right? So you're saying to your Holloway line, you know, you want everybody needs at least a couple of hits, or if you're talking to your blue liners, it's absolutely have to own the front of the net tonight. We want life to be miserable for them in the first 10 minutes of this game. Let's go out and make a point of doing that. So it's tangible and goals written down. And hey, man, I'm all for blue sky in different ways to, you know, put challenges in front of them. I don't know what's practical and what's not. I don't know what's goofy and what's not. Like, you've been in these NHL rooms. You know the different things that would or wouldn't make sense to a group of NHL players in game 27 of 82, if they're just going to roll their eyes. You know what would and wouldn't work. But I just think, yeah, just continuing to search for answers and shake it up. And you know what? Whether you think it was smart or not to bench Bouchard, whether you think it was a good idea or not, whatever, you know, I'm perfectly okay with the coaching staff turning up the temperature on some people when they're not getting what they're asking for. And I wondered how Jay Woodcroft would be along these lines. What kind of a stick? You know, we know that he, you know, likes the carrot, right? He likes the incentives for guys, and we've seen that. Well, when it's time to bring that stick and to start, you know, doling out some punishment, how will he do with that whole thing? And it was a very sharp, poignant maneuver last night to do what they did with Bouchard.
Yeah, were you surprised by that?
Yeah, well, I was, actually, to be honest with you. Yeah, I was, because we haven't seen him really do that with core guys that play on a regular basis. We had, like, that was a flat-out go-sit-at-the-end-of-the-bench-and-work-the-gate benching. Old-school benching. You will not see the ice again tonight. Last minute of the game, you need a goal. I mean, Evan Bouchard, you know, after what he did last week, probably should be out there. And Jay Woodcroft admitted today, of course we were thinking about that. But it was more important for them to send the signal in a firm, difficult way than to maybe have Bouchard out there for a last minute goal. And Strudz, you made that point earlier today. It's like, that's tough to do. But it was more important for them, you know, to follow through on that, I don't want to say punishment, these aren't children, but follow through on that consequence, then to maybe send them out there. And listen, we can debate whether it was smart, not smart, whatever. I'm okay with the coaching staff trying to lean in on some accountability in different situations in a more firm way than they have, I would say. We have not seen it like that before with a regular.
Strudy, I want to ask you, as a penalty killer, because it's a hot topic today, the Oshie power play goal. A lot of people are saying, you know what, the terrible play by the Oilers. I really don't think it was. I think it was more of a great play by Kuznetsov. You killed penalties. What did you see?
Oh, man. That, honestly, when I see that, it is absolutely a work of art by Kuznetsov. So for those that didn't see the game, Kuznetsov gets it on the half wall, and he walks up to just out of the corner and walks up to the half wall. Now, the Oilers, kind of something I've been talking about, they kind of allow him to get to the dot line. And what Kuznetsov does, he looks or fakes towards Ovechkin, who's on the far side. As soon as that happens, 97 and 27 snap their sticks up ice away from the guy down on top of the just below the goal line. And as soon as that happened, Kuznetsov just slides it down, and the puck goes up to Oshie in the slot. He's uncovered. Boom, goal. That goal is a work of art, an absolute work of art. And this is why. I know some people are being critical of McDavid, but if McDavid doesn't snap his stick up there, guess where the puck goes? It goes from Kuznetsov to Ovechkin, and Ovechkin is shooting there. Now, you know, would it go in or not? I don't know. He's probably done it 300 times from that spot. I'm guessing that there's a chance it goes in. But that is, you know, when we talk about Ovechkin and the threat he has on the power play, everyone has to respect it. And did Kulak in 97 overplay it? Yeah, maybe. But it was such a beautiful play by Kuznetsov. I absolutely loved it. I jumped out of my seat when I saw it, because literally it was just a sexy little play to snap it up. Boom, down it goes, and goal. So that's what it is. That's what good players do. Connor's done it to a lot of other players as well. So,
you know, yesterday, guys, we were talking about down at the rink. We were chatting about how with Ovechkin in his spot on the power play, how come teams haven't ever been able to take that away for real? Draisaitl, his spot on the power play. How come everybody knows, yet it still happens, right? Well, to me, Greg, last night was a great example of the consequence of over-respecting that danger, and how good teams can, even when Ovechkin is not in on the play, he's still kind of in on the play because he's in everybody's head. So all the points that Strud just made about people cheating over there, the one for me that I thought was really, really smart about that play was, if you watch Kulak, his stick was actually in the lane taking away the down low pass. He actually had it in that lane. But then he moved it for a split second over into the other lane to take away Ovechkin. And before it was even there, the pass was down behind him, tic-tac-toe, and it was in the net. Good. My point here is, good teams understand, okay, they want to key on Ovi, here's our set play around that. They want to key on our star guy, they have set plays ready to go, banking on teams overcompensating, and Washington are their professionals at that.
Yeah, we have people wondering, guys, well, you know, they benched Bouchard, but they didn't bench Draisaitl off of his pass that, you know, was turned over, and that went to the to the Eller goal. And I'm like, well, here's the difference. Leon Draisaitl, second league in scoring, and hasn't made that play as often as I think they've been concerned about Bouchard's defensive miscues. What do you
think? Yeah, Alstruds, I'll let you take the meat of this one, but I think, because I was down there today and we talked to Jay Woodcroft about this, it's a cumulative effect, right? There would be conversations that happen behind the scenes in video sessions. There would be talks about it that would lead up to this point. Strutty, it would never be a scenario where it's like, bang, one mistake is made and a guy, at least not under Woodcroft, I don't think, all of a sudden, bang, a guy is sitting the rest of the game because of one mistake. There's an accumulation there.
It would be very unlikely. So what would happen is they'd sit down and say, okay, Strudwick, look, we don't like this player making it, or we'd like you to change it. So it's one-on-one talks, it's on the ice, it's on the bench, it's video, it's all different kinds. There may be some teammates saying it. And eventually it's like, okay, you know, the message isn't being received, and for whatever reason, so then you say, okay, you're going to sit. And that's what happens. So when you look at Leon's situation, it's not a great play, but Leon, that's a rare play for him to make like that, right? How many times has he been on the half wall and he's thrown it to the middle and didn't get to the centerman, it ends up the other net? That's the first time I remember. Has he had some bad defensive plays? Yes, but every hockey player has that's ever played the game. No one's played perfect. But that's why he's out. That's why Evan got sad, and it's disappointing. But that's just the way it is. This is many, many times where this has come up, I'm guessing, and they've had conversations with him, probably going back not just this season.
But with that said, and maybe to people who are asking the question, Greg's, all players are not treated equally. It's just not the way it works. Like, Draisaitl could make that mistake five more times. They're not benching him for half a period, right? So I understand why people are asking that question. Cumulative effect or not, there's going to be a different consequence for Bouchard than there is for Leon Draisaitl. That's just nature.
But Bouchard's time will come where he's earning. He 100%. Won't be doing that.
Yep. Yeah, like, what are you? Are you a young defenseman? Or are you, I asked Jay Woodcroft the other day about pairing Broberg and Bouchard together. And I sort of said, well, the instinct might be to play Broberg with a more veteran guy. And he said, well, Bush isn't a young, like, he's 23, whatever, however old, and, you know, got this many games and such. So in that instance, he wasn't a young guy. Well, today, now he's a young developing defenseman learning from his mistakes. So it's like, which way are we looking at this guy? But in the bigger picture about Bouchard, I made this point before, and I'll say it one more time. I do think that there was a missed opportunity coming out of his three goals in two games to give him a bit of a confidence bounce there. Because, Greg, he played those two games. He scored the two against the Rangers and then one, which one was it, Florida or Carolina? I can't remember which one. He scored three goals in two games and then coming out of that played the lowest minutes he's played all year because they paired him with Broberg and they paid him like 13 minutes the next game. And I think that Bouchard is still a player who's susceptible to the ups and downs of the confidence that he feels. And coming off of three goals in two games, I just would have thought, lean into him right now. Lean into his minutes right now. And they backed off of him.
Yeah. Well, we'll see how they play tomorrow. They got to play better tomorrow. And, getting Hyman back in, hearing there's a little bit of illness there, too, is part of the reason why I didn't play last night. So maybe that will help.
We're going to learn something about Evan Bouchard, too, right? We're going to learn because we haven't seen this yet. This will be really interesting.
I thought he was good today when you guys asked him the question. He just said, yeah, you know what? Hey, I understand why it happened. Totally. I made a mistake. I got to be better. And, you sit there, you cheer the guy. And that's what you do. You can't pout at that point. Doesn't do you any good. Obviously, he's annoyed. No player in history is like, oh, I got benched. This is awesome. But, I think how he comes out tomorrow was, and that's what you want. It's always how you respond to things in any walk of life. And, I'd expect Evan Bouchard to, he'll be more attentive to detail defensively. And
I think we'll see him be more aggressive. I think we'll see him have some snarl.
No,
I do. It's not in his nature, naturally, but I think this will bring a little bit of that. You watch tomorrow night, he'll be shoving guys in front and looking them in the eye and getting in their face, and he will not be a shrinking violet tomorrow. That's my guess on Evan Bouchard.
All right. Thanks, Shocker. Have a good one.
Yeah, I got to go change the furnace filter and do a little puttering, some handy tasks around the house, so I got to go.
Just remember, Shocker, if they don't find you handsome, at least they'll find you handy, okay?
See you, boys.